Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, CISFA's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana. I don't know what you're pouring this morning, but it is a first full week of the new year. Seeing that we did get the tape on New Year's Day, amazingly.
Yes, we did. Yes.
But, you know, it's certainly the first full week. So this, of course, means for us and probably many of our colleagues across the state, either the start of their spring semesters for those who don't do the little sessions, or for us, the start of our winter 5-week session.
Yes, the start of the winter session. Yes.
And were you on our counter? Were you on our virtual counter yesterday?
Yes, I was. And it wasn't too trafficky, you know. No? We had some pauses there, but I'm pretty sure it'll definitely pick up as we move along in the week.
Well, we should be happy that the enrollment numbers look good, at least.
That's
from
good.
Almost all the colleges in our district, the Los Angeles Community College District. Year to year, we're at about 100% for most of us. Some of us are up
awesome.
A little bit. We're up like maybe a percent or two. I think there's only one college in our district that's down, and that's when you look at the number of sections of classes being offered, you know, so actual individual classes, that number was down at that school. Most of us are about the same and holding steady.
That is such good news, because I know that was definitely a concern going into the fall semester.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, you know, and the only concern, though, at this point, then, now that we're actually into winter, is, of course, moving on into spring. Our numbers are we're trailing, as they would say.
Oh, boy.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the votes are not coming in. So we really do need to go out to the community and start rabble-rousing people to go back to school, I guess.
Wow. Rabble-rousing?
Yes, rabble-rousing.
Rousing, excuse me.
R-O-U-S something, something. Yeah. It's usually used in I probably not quite using the term correctly, but it's like a rabble rouser.
Okay. You know,
someone who stirs up emotions and stuff, all that good stuff like that.
Okay.
Is that right? All is that the right word? Yeah. Look, it's going to be one of those years, you know. I'm going to start throwing out those words from the old days.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Whiz bang.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, flim flam.
Flim flam.
I don't know if you've seen, you don't have the regular cable TV, but there was a cable TV commercial for some mobile phone company or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this young girl comes into the office and talking about her phone. And so like all her coworkers who are not that much older than her use a lot of these old words. And she's like really confused, like flim flam. She just has a confused look on her face. It's really, it's a really great commercial.
It sounds like Boulder Dash.
Balderdash might be in there. Yes. Exactly. It's one of those. Because they're like, did you get a lot of balderdash when trying to make that, you know, getting that new cell phone or whatever? So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. One of those things. So, as it is the first week and we are in 2021, I know we talked briefly on Friday's show about this. Are you ready for the new year?
Yes, I am. Let's go, 2021. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just so grateful we made it through 2020 because it was touch and go there for a minute, Dennis.
I believe you, yeah. Believe me, if I had the financial wherewithal, I would have just quit my job easily.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I would have tried to find some way to be seized for president continuing, but I would have just left.
Oh, okay. Just mic drop out.
Yeah, I guess. It'd be like, whatever happened to him? Did he retire? No, I think he just kind of walked away.
Just dropped the mic, and that was it.
Yeah, he filled out some paperwork, and then seeing he's already home, all he had to do was go to the office and pick up a few things that are his, you know. And then that was it, you know. drop off the stuff that I have that is work related, like the completely busted up notebook computer that died 2 months ago.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, stuff like that. Take back the new one that I have yet to start using because I'm still using my home computer. It's just easier.
Okay.
But there's probably more of my stuff at work than work stuff at home. So it'll be an easy drive.
Yeah.
But I'm not telling people to quit yet, you know, unless, again, you have the financial wherewithal.
There you go. You hung in there.
That's right. And if for no other reason than the first news article, because today is Newsday, is all about how, at least for students, maybe not for us, so maybe this will be the reason to quit, the FAFSA is going to get simpler. And that's the good news. So I was reading here, Mark Kantrowitz, if you don't know that name, he's a creator of the FinAid.org website and many other financial aid related websites and books. He's a regular contributor for Forbes magazine. So I was out on the Forbes.com website, and he recently wrote an article about how the FAFSA Simplification Act was recently rolled into the recently passed Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021. So the Appropriations Act is the law that keeps the federal government running, funds departments, and all that good stuff, at least for the next few months, because, you know, our government has yet to really do a full-year budget on a regular basis. So this apparently happens a lot. So what happens in these funding bills, legislators like to throw in other pieces that have been laying around. And this year, it was a FAFSA simplification one. So that's how things get done. And so this bill that, you know, Senator Lamar Alexander, who's a big education guy, has been pushing for FAFSA simplification for years, if not decades, finally kind of got his wish. So here's the good news, Dana. The FAFSA will be simplified, bringing a form down from, you know, the 100-plus questions, if you've seen the paper one, to about 30 to 40 questions. Also, the EFC, or the expected family contribution, will still exist, but it's only going to be used for Pell Grant eligibility. And now something new is coming out, what they're going to call the Student Aid Index, or SAI, will be calculated so that schools that award other need-based aid have kind of like an indexing number. You know what I mean? I don't know if you're the same way, but like when a student asks about EFC, do you tell them it's not so much the amount you have to give? It's more like an index of, you know, your need. So they're going to kind of do that kind of thing, because obviously we have to address schools that use the FAFSA to award other need-based aid. So now the good thing, the good and bad is, the article is quite long because Mark goes into a lot of detail, but he does a good job of breaking down the complex concepts into small bites. You know, so for a regular person on the street, it will get a little bit technical, like this stuff about student aid index and EFC, most of us don't know about, asset protection allowance, you know, stuff that we might deal with when we get a FAFSA in. But it's really good for our listening audience, in particular those in financial aid. You should be able to decipher pretty much everything in the article. As a note, most of the changes, though, won't take effect until the 2023-24 FAFSA cycle at the earliest. So we will have some time to prep. And also, because this creates quite a bit of changes, hopefully the Department of Ed will also have the necessary time to fill in gaps with the rules and regs on this, so we can see how a simpler FAFSA will actually work. So maybe we can both read through the article at some point and take pieces and parts of it over the next few episodes. I think that'll be interesting for us. So I'll include a link to this in our show notes.
Awesome. And for those who just can't wait to find out more, I believe the last off-the-cuff podcast episode from NASFA gives an overview of the changes. It may not be as detailed in covering all the intricacies, but it'll suffice until we get to dig in on future episodes.
Yes, here on the Better of the Two podcasts.
And then it's not that I'm a paid spokesperson for NASFA or anything, but they recently had a posting of the 12 tools of compliance they offer to their members. Kind of a 12 days of Christmas ring to it all. But can you name some of the tools NASFA has to help us maintain compliance?
Well, not knowing what the order was on their computer thing, but I assume, like, and we've talked about ASC regs.
yes,
quite a bit. You know, their search engine of knowledge. I'm sure that's on the list. Probably today's news would be, mm-hmm. that's the email that most of us get, you know, one-on-one.
Yes.
Also, because it, I know this because it cost my office a little bit more money, but I signed us up for the webinars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that you guys can, you know, the staff in the office can go through the training things on a regular basis. Something, I'm trying to think what they called it. They have their advisor groups, their advisors. I think that's the blue icon people.
Yes,
I've met with a couple of them. Not that we're using them at our school, but they've done presentations and all. And then something that I've looked at, because one of our colleagues at another school used it, was he either did like their standard of excellence or their consumer information assessment.
Okay.
And so they come in and they literally assess whether or not you're meeting all the requirements. It cost them quite a bit of money, but it really got them up to snuff on that. Are there other ones out there that you think that were on the list?
Let's see. Online courses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. They offer plenty of online courses.
Self-study guides.
Yes, that's easy. You can pull those down, you know, and just self-study on, like, professional judgment or campus-based aid or some topic like that.
Uh-huh. And then there are compliance engines.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, uh-huh. So if you want to do a self-evaluation, you can do that. Also, one of the things we looked at possibly doing for the district, because, you know, we have like a policy procedure manual for all the campuses for financial aid programs where it's common things. They have a policy and procedure builder, and it'll literally help you build out your electronic policy and procedure manual.
Yes. And then, I don't know, did you, let's see.
I think there's a student aid index thing, right?
Yeah, student aid index, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I don't think, yeah, it's nothing to do with the student aid index that I talked about in FAFSA simplification.
Right, right.
But I think if I remember right, it's like, again, it's informational stuff that they collect so that you can, you know, like gauge, you know, like percentages of students getting aid and stuff like that. It's a lot of numbers.
Mm-hmm. And I think other than that, I think you got the rest.
Yeah, it sounds like uh-huh. It sounds like we got about 11 or 12. Well, we'll definitely then, we'll put a link in the show notes for that. And Dana, you know, just thinking about NASA, again, we should start collecting some referral fees, right?
Yeah.
At the very minimum. In case your days aren't filled enough, because I know you like to take your time to do other things, but, you know, just saying, and especially because if you're looking to take my job one day, because, again, you can take it or I just might leave it behind. You never know.
Oh, goodness.
You should be looking at earning the Financial Aid Administrator certification that is offered by NASFA. I believe at least one of our compatriots in the district have gone through this. I think Miss Anna Faye did.
Yes.
So to get the certification, you need to pass a test. It's 115 multiple choice questions, but you don't have to worry, Dana. There's a test prep guide to help you get the correct mindset for taking the test. You do have to have the knowledge. So you may have to do some studying, and that's where some of those self-study guides might help you out from NASA. As a note for you or others who might be interested, and they do this, I think, once a month, the next testing window starts tomorrow, January 6th, and runs through the 20th. And then there's another window in February and such. But if you want more information, Dana, or our audience, go out to nasa.org/knowledge_exam. And we'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Awesome.
And Dana, before we continue on with more news, seeing that we also have new music bed to go with, why don't we do a little musical interlude here? And then we'll move on to our second cup.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing Cease for Show.
Time to get that refill in there.
Yes. So, you know, I didn't ask you, what are you drinking this morning?
I'm just drinking straight out water because Dennis woke up closer to 8 o'clock than 7 o'clock. So no time to brew anything, even on a fast brewing little coffee machine. So it's just water with some black cherry. Oh, it's the energy kind. Oh,
Oh, there you go. So it's supposed to give you like a boost.
It says caffeine with vitamin B3, B6, and B12.
Look at you.
Seems like a math problem, really.
Yeah.
I thought I was drinking the one without the caffeine, but apparently I'm drinking the one with caffeine. So there you go.
It sounds like you're going to need it for the rest of your day today.
I might. You know, it is the second day, so of course there's already meetings scheduled. The only good thing is, at the end of today, I have to do some errand running, so I will be making time to get out of work at the right time.
You're hitting the streets.
Yeah, hitting the streets is exactly right.
Oh, man. Exactly. You be safe out there.
I'll try. Okay, Dina, give us another news article.
All right, Dennis. So this one's not directly related to financial aid, but there was an interesting article on Forbes.com regarding what fields of study were earning students the highest wages once they graduated college. Here's one of the interesting things I read in the article that relates to community colleges in California. According to the article, associate degrees from the nursing program at Yuba College yield early college median earning of over $100,000.
Yeah, wow.
That is on another level. Mm-hmm. So while this may be an outlying case, according to the article, the majority of two-year degrees in healthcare-related fields pay more than the typical bachelor degree overall. If anything, this should make us rethink how the narrative is always about how a four-year degree is worth more than a two-year degree.
Absolutely. And so in our little show notes, I put up the little slides, and it's very interesting how for the two-year graduates, as far as for those who earn $60,000 coming right out of school,
mm-hmm.
what would you say? It's probably about 90% of those degrees are coming from nursing and other health professions.
Man, that is something.
Yeah, other than that, it's mostly computer science and engineering, because there are a number of two-year programs you can do in those areas. But unfortunately, it's our business and finance kids, our visual performing arts, and the social sciences are kind of all grouped together in that area of less than $25,000.
Yeah, and that's so interesting, you know, because you would think, especially being, I think those are some of the popular, degrees.
Yeah. Well, I think with business in particular, it's other than those things that are really straightforward things that are applicable right away out the door. Like we've had a computer applications and office technology degree and certificate program at our community college, but those are very practical classes. You know, it's all about like understanding Microsoft Word and Excel and office applications and things like that. And, you know, maybe getting into in depth on some of those, understanding how to, you know, build out macros in Excel or how to build a good Access database, but they're very practical, skill oriented. So it's not a case of where once you, on the little chart talks about business majors start to move into the higher ranges of income beyond just the lower ranges. Most of our stuff is about people getting their first, in the olden days, I don't know what the term is now, clerical type of work, right? You know, being an office assistant, a secretary, an executive assistant, where they're applying those more basic type of skills. And that's kind of where our programs lie, you know. And so I can see why maybe at the two-year schools, more of those majors are on the lower end, because they're going to be going into the business world, getting a job in the office, but it's going to be a starting job, you know, unlike nursing, which, because of supply and demand and more technical skills beyond that, they pay better. So we can now see, Dana, where we've gone wrong. Right?
Yeah. Maybe we need to share this information with our president,
So tell him that we'd like to reclassify our job names.
Yes.
Financial aid, technical nursing assistant, something like that.
Because, you know, technically we are nursing students, as far as financial aid is concerned, so that they can help me out here. I'm trying to sell it.
You're doing such a great job here. That's right. How can we make financial aid into a nursing and other health profession?
We can do this. We can figure this out because we are part of their development, student development, because, you know, we are, you know, teaching them life skills, you know, as far as finances are concerned. Help me. Am I selling it?
You're doing your best. Unfortunately, if you see the chart, and we'll include a link in the show notes of the Forbes article, you'll see there's a couple charts. I think where we work is what's called the social sciences and education.
Okay.
And if you see our chart here by the color, those are the blues, right?
Oh, man.
They're pretty much all lumped down at the bottom of the lowest range of earnings. Because, again, you can't get, unfortunately, a two-year degree and go off and become a teacher. It does require the bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. So the types of jobs available, we'll start out lower. And most of those people that want to continue in those fields have to go on for degrees. Like, you know, we've gone on for our master's degrees. We always push our colleagues to do the same. The payoff is not quite there out the door, everybody. But don't worry. It doesn't mean you have to change up where you go or whatever, but it does lead to my thinking that there's another article that I've got here related to this. You know, is in particular, if you're trying to pick a major and you end up taking a student loan, so that's a big thing here, you should know that there's a pretty interesting article that puts the blame for the student loan crisis, as we call it, or bubble, on big government. So big government is a term, right? I was reading an article on the Foundation for Economic Education, or FEE, website, on how big government broke higher education, the student loan bubble explained. So here's the facts at hand that they give you. 43 million Americans hold $1.5 trillion in federal student loan debt.
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
So Dana, you can think of your student loan as just a real small amount of that, you know.
Yes.
And you're one of 43 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't account for private loans that come through banks or other lenders, but for federal loans. So the average debt per borrower now is $37,127. That's gone up significantly. And we should consider that tuition, since the late 1970s, has risen at a rate of three times of inflation. I think this probably accounts for why student loan borrowing's gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe this shouldn't be such a big deal if students were graduating at higher rates in programs like nursing that provide above average wages. But the article quotes a Wall Street Journal report that says 43% of graduates are underemployed in their first job. So, you know, not working full time, etc.
I can attest to that.
You know, yeah, right. that may have occurred to us too.
Yeah.
Two-thirds remaining jobs that don't even require a college degree 5 years later. You know, when they talk about the cab drivers or the baristas at your coffee shop who have master's and bachelor's degree. And this article goes on and how the Washington Post found that only 27% of graduates working jobs that relate to their majors. Another thing, you know, having a degree in literature, but working, working at a bank, stuff like that. Estimates show the rate of return on degrees have been decreasing since the Great Recession. All just fantastic news for us, right? Ha ha. Keep that in mind. But back to the crux of the article. It notes that how over 1 million people default on their student loans every year. And the article goes on to say how some studies estimate that nearly 40% of borrowers could be defaulting in just a couple years from now.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Now, this also was a long article on Forbes. They're good at that. So I'm only touching on a few things. I'd suggest everyone go out there and read it during your free time if you got some, as there's a lot of discussion points that come out. They go in a lot more about financial aid, selecting majors, and things like that in the article. So we'll definitely get more in-depth over time on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all we had for the news articles today. Anything from your way there?
No, I actually just wanted to comment on that article. On the article, excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, just speaking from personal experience, Dennis, you know, after I finished my master's program, I'm not even joking. It took me about a good almost 2 years to get hired back at Mission. And it was a rough 2 years.
You know? I understand completely. Yeah. I mean, I've been blessed in the sense that, you know, I went right from undergrad to graduate school. Maybe not the best of choices at the time, considering things. But again, you know, when minimum wage was $4 an hour back in those days, people, you know, anything looked better. And then right from graduate school, my internship in the financial aid office at my university, you know, turned into a full-time job. So I've been lucky that way. But you're right. I know so many other people like you that, yeah, just landing that first job because you want to put the degree to work.
Absolutely. You put time, the time and the effort and the funds, you know.
Yeah, the money thing, yeah.
Yeah, it can be really difficult, you know. And we're not just, you know, sitting at home twiddling our thumbs. No, we're out there grinding, hitting the streets, submitting those resumes. But
exactly.
It can, and you know, and you know, I did have some cohort members or know of cohort members, you know, they were able to secure, you know, jobs right after, but okay. For the most part, yeah, like 2 years, man.
Yeah.
My poor mom.
I understand completely. Yeah. My goodness.
Almost drove her crazy.
I'm sure.
Well, oh man. So Dennis, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have an update on the annual conference this March?
We do. We are getting closer to sending out a save the date email, probably later this week, to everybody about the conference. And then specifically, all the financial aid directors and all will get something about the all financial aid director training. That is the day and a half that starts off before the conference. That's going out soon. I still don't have an exact theme.
Okay.
Because the theme and all that I was working on from like a year ago wouldn't be as applicable during these trying times we've had over the last year. And so I'm trying to find something about light at the end of the tunnel, or not that most of our listeners will know the artist, but the song Looks Like We Made It by Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow.
No? I know who Barry Manilow is. I have a melody in my head, but I'm not going to sing it out loud.
No problem. But yeah, expect info to go out in the next week and registration to start up very, very soon. Along with that, on the association front, at least, the other piece of news I'll throw out there is that we do have elections for the 2021-22 cycle coming up soon. Soon, everyone. So we're electing a new president-elect, a vice president of federal issues, a treasurer-elect, and secretary. And at the same time, we're going to be running a special election for the current year because my successor, who would been was president-elect this year, this cycle from July to June, left for a better job outside the state. And so we had to, you know, she had to give up her position. So we're going to have someone who's coming in. Hopefully we'll be electing someone who will fill the president-elect role until the end of June and then take over for me as president. So we're running that election, too, because that person, in a sense, has a short term of president-elect.
You know, Dennis, I can take over for you if you like.
That'd be nice if you want to run for it. But keep in mind, then you got two more years of work to do. You got to be president as of July 1st.
Uh-huh.
And then the next July 1st, you're past president.
Oh, man. There would be so much shenanigans going down.
Yeah. I don't know if it's in our bylaws that it would be allowed that either A, Dana could do it, or B, someone from the same school. That's a good question.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Dana, man.
And we would have a lot of fun, though.
I'm sure we would. We certainly would. Well, let's roll a little music, get us ourselves in our last segment. And just like that, we are ready for our last sip, everyone. Boy, these episodes are running a little longer than normal, but that's okay. Dana, you got any I Dare You To selections out there?
Not today. I'm sorry about that for all of you guys listening. No, how about you?
I can't think of anything in particular.
Yeah.
As far as the watch or listen. I know I have a new CD, thanks to one of my Secret Santas out there, The best of the Grateful Dead.
Yes, I see that.
Because I wanted a simple compilation of like a two CD set like this is. CDs are compact discs, everyone, for our younger people.
For all you youngins listening out there.
And this is relatively recent, 2015 release. So, I'm not a big Grateful Dead fan. I have nothing against them.
I just never got into them much.
Okay. So I'll put out there, I dare you to listen to the Grateful Dead. If you got Sirius XM, I think sometimes they have a rotating channel of just that, just to get, an idea of what the band's about.
Okay.
But looking ahead, just to let everyone know, as we are rolling our way out of this, keep in mind that our show, we're back to regular two a week. I know there was some slightly different schedule maybe over the last few weeks here, but we'll be doing our regular shows from here on through. So keep tuned in. Invite others to listen to us. We would like to build our audience up. And again, we are back to having someone outside the United States downloading us, Dana. So that's good to know. Sweden. There we go.
Hey, Sweden. What's going on?
That's right. Those people at IKEA are listening to us. That's awesome. Well, Dana, I think that's about all we have time for today. But again, there's always another episode coming. I want to thank you, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing Seaspray. And of course, thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CSFA website at CSFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCSFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CSFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. Or for those using Apple devices, open your podcast app. To find us, search for CSFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcsfa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean as one word. And you can find us on Spotify and Pandora and iHeartRadio now. And you can even listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 52, recorded the morning of Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. Have a great day, everyone.
And have a great week.